iTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
You can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
I come from money, I come from class. These ladies love me for all my cash. Won't let nobody spoil my dream, because I got money and I can do anything. I'm the best you can see and the best you can buy. Money on the floor, but it reaches to the sky.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second, check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com as well. And I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. You can interact with us live at Wild Talk Radio on the Twitters, at Rack Radio Show on the Twitters, or even at Lindsay Ward, or just come to the website she just mentioned, RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, and Gerwick.net. You can interact with us there. We're going to be chatting with you, the people, the live people here in the chat room. We're going to be having some squad members join us as well later in the program.
That's right. We have a stacked show because, as you can guess by the music, we are talking Money in the Bank, which airs this Sunday on the WWE Network. Before that is also NXT, which airs on Saturday night. We're going to be talking about that with the analyst and the assistant to the assistant to the assistant analyst. That's right, TJ Omega and Kane Kittens will be joining us later in the show, so you don't want to miss that. But
hold on. Spoiler, the intern has a new intro.
The intern does have a new intro.
He's going to yell at me when he hears it.
He can't yell at you any more than he already has.
This is true, but he's going to yell at me when he hears it.
And then he'll laugh.
Then he'll laugh, but he will yell at me first.
Yeah, and then also stay tuned for after this show, because about 10 minutes after this show goes off the air, we'll be back with Fortnite shenanigans. And yes, y'all, shopping carts are back.
Yeah.
So, tune in. It'll be fun.
Make sure you switch to the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive, where you can listen to the show live every time we're on air, because that's our Twitch channel. So, there you go.
You should totally follow it.
Yes, follow it. Subscribe to it if you have an Amazon account. Link it to your Twitch and bing, bam, boom. Anyway, we're not going to do that here. We'll do that later. Moving on, he says.
Moving on, I say we get right into the show because we do have a lot to talk about tonight and we don't want to waste any time because, well, Fortnite. So we are here to talk Money in the Bank.
Money!
And this is a super stacked show without the Universal title. Not bitter about that at all. Not going to get into that at all based on the rumors that have come out.
I mean, we have a World Championship contract Money in the Bank ladder match where the Raw winners can cash in on its champion when...
Oh, wait.
So, okay.
Well, when is he coming back? Doesn't he technically have to come back for them to cash in on him?
I mean, they could go out to the woods of Canada and cash in there.
Think of how awesome that would be. The winner gets like a 24/7 rule with the Money in the Bank briefcase, and they have to go find Brock. It's like a scavenger hunt. They're just out in the middle of the woods with like a handheld camera and some lighting and like a boom mic. And it's like stalking Bigfoot.
And a referee. I remember we gotta get a referee out there too.
Oh yeah. Well, the referee could be the camera guy too. So
no,
yeah.
you need a cameraman. You need a referee guy, a referee and a wrestler.
It's the woods. You can strap it to a tree.
But it might not be just on one tree. You might have to go to more than one tree. It's a big forest. It's a big forest. Big woods. They have lots of big trees that you can. You need an axe to chop down. Sometimes that axe squeaks when you get. Anyway, moving on.
It's not a pickaxe.
Oh, I need to tell you about that story later. Anyway, we'll continue on.
Yes, you do need to.
Just keep going. Yeah. Let's get into the show.
Anyway, so yeah, not the Universal title. It's not going to be on this show. It's probably not going to be any show in the future. Not that Vince McMahon listens to this program, but I'm just going to put this out there in the universe. There is no right moment. Just do the damn thing, okay? Just do it, because it's going to get to the point where nobody cares, and we're kind of already there.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
So yeah. Just wanted to put that out in the universe because, you know, seeing as the last time I got defended was in Saudi Arabia, we're a little past the 30-day rule, even for Brock. Moving on!
But did you know he's now the longest reigning WWE champion / Universal champion in the modern era, right?
Mm-hmm.
He beat somebody's record. I just couldn't tell you who's. Stay tuned for Tweet of the Week out, then you'll know. Anyway, moving on. Moving on, let's get to the show.
Let's get to the show. Like we said, we're talking about Money in the Bank, which airs on Sunday, like I said, on the WWE Network and on pay-per-view if you so choose. But just do the network. It's cheaper.
Member free for the first month for new subscribers.
And we have two Money in the Bank matches to talk about on the show, the men's and the women's, where we have a combined roster in those matches and a combined roster in general. Yay! No more single show pay-per-views. Makes me very happy.
So this will be 3.5 hours, close to four.
Even though my slut and his idiot boyfriend are not going to be on this show.
But the kids are, and they're on the pre-show, so that's where we should start.
That's right, my kids! My beardy sons! The Bludgeon Brothers, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan, are defending their tag team titles against Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, a.k.a. The Good Brothers. And, oh, there have been shots fired on Twitter over this. Oh, damn!
You have them for Tweet of the Week?
I don't, but I can get them.
You may get them for Tweet of the Week. All right, there you go.
I mean, God.
In terms of build-up, it's been, okay, Gallows and Anderson beat the Usos to win the shot. And then we've seen one singles match. They had no interaction on SmackDown Live. They just saved their barbs for the Twitters. It's the pre-show. There's no way Gallows and Anderson win this one. I'm going Bludgeon Brothers, and so does the Magic 8-Ball.
Going with my kids. Gotta go with my beardy sons. I mean, this should be a really fun match, for sure, because you've got four guys in there that can go.
But the Money in the Bank pre-show is not where you take the belts off of the bludgeons.
No, I'm not saying you're going to. I'm sticking with my bearded kids.
Oh, I know. I'm just explaining. It's like, the Money in the Bank pre-show is not the show to do it. You spent too long building them to a point where you're trying to make them a dominant team. This is not the show to do it. No offense to Anderson and Gallows, who are in the best shape of their careers. It's not their time.
Based on Carl Anderson's Twitter, I can attest to that. But yeah, no, it's like the bludgeons have cooled off just a little bit, so you sort of need to reestablish them just a smidge. So this would be a good place to do that and have them be dominant. Because, well, everybody's sort of been avoiding them, which is just not nice. They just want to play.
They do, so there's a
I mean, they're not scary at all. It's not like they melt toys or anything like that. They're fine. They're perfectly normal, well-adjusted men.
Right.
With giant hammers who will kill you.
What's next?
Heading to the main show, the card I'm looking at is a little out of order. So I'm going to save the Money in the Bank matches for the end. And, well, let's talk about the match that really nobody asked for, nobody really wants. We're getting it for some reason, I think because we were bad. Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns.
I was wondering which one you were going to talk about.
We'll talk about the other one in a second. Why are we doing this? I mean, I know Roman has to be on the show, and I'm fine with Roman being on the show, but why? Why this? There were options.
There were options. Not many good options.
You could have done Roman and Sammy.
But Sammy's been dealing with Bobby Lashley.
You could have had Sammy deal with Roman.
Then you want Jinder versus Lashley?
No.
Okay, then. If you're going on scenarios, Roman Jinder is better than Lashley Jinder.
You could have just not done either and put Bray and the idiot boyfriend on the show.
I know, but you're trying to build Bobby Lashley into a number one contender for the... You're also trying to build Roman Reigns as the uncrowned... Alright, anyway.
Moving on.
Going to be a theme through this preview, just so you're all aware. Yeah. Roman's winning. There's no... If Jinder Mahal wins this matchup, then Tim will eat his hat.
Jinder Mahal wins this matchup, it's going to be by shenanigans. I'm just going to put that out there right now, that the one remaining brother he has left will help him, and he will prevail that way. Unless there's some twin magic, which there could be.
Could be. No, there won't be.
Because I don't think the other one's
clear. No, the other one's still recovering.
Okay.
Based on WWE storyline progression, Jinder laid out Roman on Raw. Roman goes over on the pay-per-view. Roman Reigns wins. 8-Ball went with Jinder. Who do you go with?
Roman. Up next, the other match nobody really asked for. In fact, the feud nobody asked for. Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn. Again, why? Sami Zayn is such a talented, amazing performer. Why would you give him such crap? Like, I hate to be so negative about it, but this storyline in terms of the writing has just, it's like, really? You're gonna have Sammy do this? Really?
He is making the best of it. He is trying to make the best of it. Sami Zayn is doing pretty well in this story based on just, he's getting a lot of TV time. He's getting at least 10-15 minutes per week to cut promos, which he was not getting before. So, especially the last time he was on Monday Night Raw. So that's a positive in the Sami Zayn category. He is a great heel. He is doing his job. He is getting the heat he needs for this story. The story sucks.
Yeah, the writing on this is just kind of like, okay. I mean, I rather would have had, you know, it's like focus on the fact that Bobby Lashley left. How about you focus on that? The fact that Bobby Lashley took his ball and he went over to Bellator because he, for whatever reason, because he wasn't happy or whatever. And now he's come back and it's like, you don't, you know, basically have Sammy be like, you left. Why do you even deserve to still be here?
Why are you back? What are you doing back? You know?
Yeah.
This is my company. This is my place now. Why are you here? It's just, oh, Bobby Lashley's back. He smiles. Bobby Lashley smiles. And when he gets pissed off, he gets pissed off. But he's a smiling baby face. Everyone smile.
Legit, like, baby face. Like, it's a giant, an adorable baby's head on top of this giant muscular body.
You know, he's like 42.
He looks like he's 3.
He's 40, he does. He's 41, turns 42 in a month.
He is legit. He has the youngest looking face.
Yeah.
Just, and the teeniest, tiniest ears I've ever seen on a person ever. But yeah, it's just like, he's a legit baby face. And I don't know. It's like him walking around smiling all the time. It's like, he's adorable. He's very handsome, very good looking man when he smiles. But it's like, that's just not helping me at all with you. I'd rather him be more of a badass.
The Dominator.
Not the Dominator. I don't want to get that kinky, but...
Well, that is his nickname, the Dominator.
But I mean, you know, basically have him be more aggressive, have him be not this.
You mean everything he was in Impact Wrestling?
I don't know. I never saw him in Impact Wrestling.
He was the Dominator. He was he was the Destroyer, Bobby Lashley.
No, wait, I take that back. I think I did see him in Impact Wrestling.
You've seen him a few times in Impact Wrestling.
Have I?
Yes.
I don't remember. I watched too much wrestling. Anyway, yeah.
It's been a minute.
I just, this storyline just has not resonated. And you have two very good performers in it, and it's just not resonating because, again, I think the writing is just that it's like, it almost feels like they just didn't have anything for Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn, so they just went F it and just went with this because it's like, it's better than nothing.
They're trying to give you a backstory about Bobby Lashley. They're trying. They're really trying to give one. It's just not working. So it's like, you got to figure out a way to reintroduce him and sort of make him relevant into the, stories and everything, and this is based off coming off of last month where Lashley and Strowman took on Zayn and Owens, and so this is now the singles match coming out of it. I mean, the booking goes, Bobby Lashley beats him up in 30 seconds.
Yeah, Bobby Lashley is going to win this match. I mean, but it's just, I feel like they could have done more with this. This is almost like the idea where it's, they had 5 minutes before the meeting, they needed to come up with something, so they threw it at a wall, and this is like, okay, this works. And that's what they did, you know?
Possibly, yeah. I'm going Bobby, 8-Ball one with Sammy, and yeah, I wouldn't be so, if they give him 10 minutes, they would have a really good match. Booking-wise, I would make it 30 seconds, and then you have Sami Zayn come out on Monday Night Raw, he's saying, I slipped on a banana peel, or there was something in my eye, or my hand was hurt, that's why I lost. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Go with something like that to keep it going, but please just, you know, like, improve from here.
Yep.
All right, moving on from that, she says, Now we're going to get into the third match that nobody really asked for, nobody really wanted.
Again.
We're getting it anyway. Daniel Bryan versus Big Cass. And I just have a question from SmackDown.
Yes.
Did he impose a height limit to ride him? Because that's what that felt like, is you have to be so tall to ride the Big Cass.
So if that was... No, I don't want to go in that direction because...
Don't go there.
Because I think you know where I was going.
I know exactly where you're going. Don't go there.
If it was fat. So Big Cass is big. Daniel Bryan is small. That's the story. Big guy. Small guy. The match sucked 6 weeks ago. Big Cass is not great. Logic says they'll go for a third match and Big Cass wins this one. Screw the logic, Daniel Bryan wins.
Right, yeah. Bryan wins. I mean, again, this is another writing fail where it's... I feel like they didn't have anything. So, okay, big versus little, when it's... You could have had Cass genuinely pissed off that, you know, he's been... quote-unquote, holding it down, being a workhorse and doing the job while Brian's been off shooting Total Bellas and Total Divas and being a GM and trying to get medically cleared and...
But Cass can't do that because he was out for 9 months injured.
Right. But he was holding it down before that.
But was he? Was he really holding it down?
It's better than, hey, I'm big, you're small.
Can't teach that.
And you could have Brian bring that up, that, hey, well, you know, how can you say that? You were out for 9 months hurt. But it's, you know, it's a better story than, like I said, I'm big, you're small. You know, it's just, who feuds over that? Who?
Who?
So, yeah. Daniel Bryan. Please.
Magic 8-Ball went Daniel Bryan.
So now we're moving into the matches that more people wanted.
Huzzah!
Yay! We've gone through, like, half the card.
We've gone through three matches.
I know, but it feels like...
Or four matches, actually.
Almost half the card.
Let's get some real barn burners.
Seth Rollins versus Elias for the Intercontinental Championship. This is an interesting mix. They almost could be brothers if you stand them next to each other.
That's that weird-ass Photoshop they did? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a little creepy.
Yeah. They could be brothers. They're putting a lot of faith in Elias. They see really big things for Elias coming up. It is to the point where there's a good chance he could get the Intercontinental Championship on this show.
I kind of want him to. I'm not even gonna lie. I really kind of want him to.
There's part of me that thinks, okay, he could use the Intercontinental Championship as it would drive, you know, his stock and raise it a little bit. And there's part of me going, he's pretty well off right now. And the top champion right now... is Seth Rollins, because the other one is disappeared right now.
He got abducted by aliens.
Possibly. No one knows for sure. So he's not there at the moment. So you have to think about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I don't know if Elias as the guy is right for WWE at the moment. Seth Rollins, on the other hand, is delivering high 5-star quality matches every time out, and I wouldn't want him to lose the role he's on. So, to me, I would keep the belt on Rollins, but I could see the idea of putting it on Elias.
I feel like Elias needs it a little bit more than Rollins right now. Like, it's fine on Rollins, but if this is going to be your main title, it needs to be a little bit more hotly contended than what it is right now. And so, I feel like putting it on Elias is a good start, because then that also set you up for a rematch at the next pay-per-view, so you can sort of blow this feud off and then move on with whoever you're going to put the title on, whether it stays on Elias, whether it goes back to Rollins, you know, whatever. So it's, I feel like that's a good option, is putting on Elias. It helps legitimize him. It gives him a title. It's going to make the title more visible. You can have people start coming for Elias, where it's like, hey, you know, and bring up that exact point. Well, since there's no Universal Championship, I want the IC title, and start really making that title a point of contention for the company on Raw. Because it's like, you can have people go to Kurt Angle, well, where's Brock? Where's Brock? Where's Brock? And it's, he's not coming. So it's like, well, okay, since you're not going to do anything about it, I'm going to go find another title to feud for and really heat up the IC division. They won't do that. But I just feel like Rollins has been a good champion, but I feel like Elias could be more, just because he's really, really, really super hot right now. And that title could do a lot for him, especially if they're going to move him into the main event scene. Because he just needs, like, one title to put him into the main event, and then he'll be good to go. Because he didn't have anything in NXT. He was just sort of there, and then he drifted up, and now he's here, and the gimmick has taken off, and people are really excited about it. And so it's like, while he's hot, put the title on him. Because, I mean, you can always put it back on Rollins.
Yeah, you can. I'm going Rollins. 8-Ball went with Elias. And I assume you're going Elias.
I'm going to walk with Elias.
All right. What's next?
Up next, we have Carmella versus Asuka, the singles match for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Carmella.
This, I think, will be Asuka's first singles match since Mania. Is that correct?
No.
No?
She took on Mandy Rose a couple weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I just mentally blocked that out.
First championship match since WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. There's a rumor speculating on the interwebs that a certain James Ellsworth, who was supposedly going to China, is no longer going to China, so how about that, could be making his return to WWE. I could see him taking the bullet for Carmella in this matchup and getting kicked by Asuka, allowing Carmella to roll up Asuka and keep her championship. I think it's too soon to take the belt off of Carmella. I think Asuka's time will come with the women's championship. I just think right now you have something in Carmella, and I think it's better for Asuka to chase it right now. That's me.
I kind of agree with that. I mean, Asuka had her time in the sun. She was undefeated for so long. She was the NXT women's champion for so long that I feel like they still need to sort of like back off of her a little bit and just have her right there, right on the edge, ready to go. But let Carmella shine a little bit more, because she's doing some of the best work she's ever done with this championship. And it would seem like such a waste to go ahead and take it from her now. And I think, you know, the surprise, if Ellsworth does show up, would be really good. And it allows Carmella to sort of get away from Asuka. And you know, obviously Asuka chasing the belt is always better than Asuka getting, well, I shouldn't say always better, but it's better when she chases versus when she gets it.
Because we've seen the story of Asuka holding the belt in NXT. We saw that story.
Mm-hmm. And when she gets the SmackDown title, she's likely to hold it
for a while.
For a while.
Yeah.
So it's, I would rather see her chase and you sort of build up to that moment either at like SummerSlam or Survivor Series or even Mania next year, wait that long, where she's kind of got to get through everybody before you put that title on her.
SummerSlam is a good point. I would consider Carmella's run a success if she gets it to SummerSlam.
Yeah, because the thing is also now with Asuka and Carmella is you've got the women's Money in the Bank, and depending on when this goes on, that could also play a factor in this match. If the women go on first for the Money in the Bank, then you've got a new briefcase holder and somebody could cash in that night. We've seen it before. Kane.
Dean.
Dean. So.
I'm going Carmella.
Yeah, I kind of want to go with Carmella. I don't want to see her reign end just yet. It's too good. And I love Asuka. Don't get me wrong. I love Asuka, but I'm just not ready to see Asuka with the championship yet. I think her time will come, but
I have
not yet.
I have Asuka fatigue at the moment. Yeah. At the moment. 8-Ball went with Asuka.
Macaroons.
Moving on.
Up next, we'll talk about the other women's title match. Nia Jax takes on Ronda Rousey for the Raw Women's Championship. This feud's been really confusing.
Is she a babyface? Is she a heel? Is she a tweener? Nobody knows. And I'm losing interest every time they can't decide. We now know Ronda Rousey can put the armbar on Nia Jax, and we know Nia Jax will tap out to an armbar. It's not the first time she's tapped out to an armbar. We're supposed to forget all about it, but oh my god. Back in February against Asuka, she was tapping out to armbars. We're not supposed to remember this.
Shh.
We're not supposed to remember that. It's only 5 months ago.
Only?
Only. Not even 5 months. Ronda Rousey is winning this matchup. The question is, will she be the champion when she wins this matchup? I'm not sure.
I hate to say this about Nia Jax. I think I said this before, either on the Raw Post Show or on somewhere that at some point when we talk, the numerous times that we talk, the more that this goes on, the more that Nia feels like a paper champion, where they had to get it off Alexa because Alexa was going to do things to her body So they took it off Alexa so she could get that taken care of, and they've had Nia carrying that title. And I know it means a lot to Nia, so, you know, I feel bad saying that, but it's like, she's kind of that placeholder between Alexa and Ronda.
They're trying to tell a good story with Nia as the champion. It's not working.
It's just, it's very confusing. They're not writing her properly. They're basically, it's like, okay, well, they had her as a babyface against Alexa because Alexa is such a strong heel. It worked against Nia's babyface, and now you have Nia coming out as champion, and they're putting her right up against Ronda Rousey, who is a babyface, who's over, and they went, oh, crap. We have babyface versus babyface. And, you know, it's like you could gradually sort of maybe have Ronda be talking about the match, and that's what sort of, like, slights Nia and pisses Nia off, and then they start going at each other, and that's what sort of leads to the match. Because, you know, you had Ronda being like, oh, hey, I don't deserve this, you know, I just got here, but I'll go ahead and fight you because I'm not going to miss the opportunity. You know, that kind of thing. Or you could show the mutual respect, but you've kind of had Nia be wishy-washy. They're not sure if they want her to be a babyface, they want her to be a heel. It varies during the weeks. And it's just been really confusing.
It's hard to follow. It makes the story less interesting as it goes on. And it makes you less interested in this matchup, even though this is the biggest matchup on the show. Yes, I said it. It is the biggest matchup on the show for the reason her name is Ronda Rousey. She's your money. She's your draw. So whatever she's doing is the biggest thing on the show. That's no offense to the men. There's no offense to the other women. It's Ronda Rousey or bust right now. So whatever the outcome is, they better have a story to go on with it. I can see Stephanie get involved in this one just to continue on the Ronda-Steph story, which is not over by any means. I'm going Ronda Rousey is your new Raw Women's Champion. I don't think Nia Jax is working. That's my pick, and that's what I'm going with. 8-Ball went Nia. Who you going with?
This is hard, because Nia deserves a championship. She worked very, very hard for it, but
everyone does.
Everyone does, but it's Ronda, and that's the problem. If you have Ronda lose to Nia, she does lose a little bit of credibility, even though there's no shame in Nia beating her, because Nia does have the size advantage on Ronda. It's just she just gets overpowered, but Ronda is known for being a powerhouse. She's known for being able to take girls down. We saw her do it on Raw. So it's like, that shouldn't be an issue. But it hurts Nia if Ronda wins. Because basically it makes Nia look like a fool.
Because she's the one who laid out the challenge.
Because she's the one that challenged Ronda Rousey. It's, okay, you're the biggest threat to me. You're the biggest threat to my title. I'm going to go ahead and challenge you and get you out of the way. And if I can beat you, then anybody can beat you. And maybe that's what they want to tell, but you really almost, it feels like you need to have her feel unbeatable for a little while just because of her reputation. And that's what's really on the line here is her reputation, not necessarily the title. I also feel like they need to go ahead and get the title on Ronda and get it out of the way. Just go ahead, put the title on her, and have the women chase her for a little bit.
The attraction is who can stop Ronda Rousey. It's not who can stop Nia. It's who can stop Ronda Rousey. And who will be the one to finally take the belt off of Ronda. So you can have woman after woman after woman after woman go up against Ronda Rousey. His first matchup could be a couple minutes. The second matchup could be a little longer. And so on and so forth. And then she's put to her limit by someone. Whoever it may be. Could be someone that's currently on Monday Night Raw. It could be someone currently on SmackDown Live. Woo! Who knows what it could be.
Could be somebody from NXT.
It could be someone from NXT. No.
Her buddy?
Could be. You never know. But that's the money. That's the story. That will get you to WrestleMania. That can get you past WrestleMania. That's how you tell this story. Anyway, your pick is who?
I'm going to go ahead and go Ronda. Just because, I mean, I love Nia, don't get me wrong, but it just, this feels like this is Ronda's match to lose. And the way that they're setting this up, and they could have her lose, and it's, okay, alright, you sort of knock her down a few pegs so you can build her back up later, but at the same time, I feel like they're going to go for a big main event at SummerSlam with the women, and they're going to want that title on a name when they go for it. And I don't think that name is Nia Jax.
Next.
Up next, we have the men. That's right, AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura taking each other on one more time in a last man standing match for the WWE Championship, and let's hope and pray to God that they wear their protective gear this time. This match ends one more time with a kick to the nuts. I'm done.
Hey, can end with a kick to the nuts and a count of 10? That's fine.
You know what I mean.
No, I'm saying I know what you mean, but I'm saying in this matchup it can, and one of them can stay down for 10 seconds with a kick to the nuts. It's fine. It works in this matchup. If Shinsuke doesn't win, then, well, Shinsuke is done. That said, I'm picking AJ Styles.
Shinsuke has done such a good job being a heel. Turning him heel was absolutely 1000% the right move. And honestly, you've had, if you don't put it on Shinsuke at this point, you're right. He's done. And the whole thing has been for waste. A waste. And it's like, you didn't do it at the last pay-per-view. You didn't do it.
At the greatest Royal Rumble, you didn't do it.
At the greatest Royal Rumble, you didn't do it at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So it's, you really almost have to do it here.
If you're now, going to do it.
If you're going to do it. Now, again, the flip side to this is the money in the bank. That plays a factor. This is the only world championship that is going to be on the line on this show. Not bitter about that at all. If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. You missed our mini rant about that earlier.
This should be the main event of the show.
This should be the main event of the show, but whether it's closing or not, that's the question.
That's what I mean. It will close. It should close the show.
So you have the men's money in the bank, so you could have somebody for SmackDown win and challenge and come in and take the belt away from Shinsuke, or come in and take the belt away from AJ. And then that creates a different situation that could happen. Again, Kane, Dean Ambrose.
Right. Here's why I'm going with AJ Styles. Just based off the booking and the way it's been written, it feels like WWE booking is going AJ Styles, especially in Last Man Standing matches. The babyface always sort of pulls it out at some point. The reason why Shinsuke can win is because we may see AJ Styles take some time off to heal up. That is very possible. He hasn't been working much. As you've seen, he hasn't really wrestled on SmackDown Live in a few weeks. He hasn't worked house shows in a few weeks. He's had some nagging injuries, so maybe they'll take the belt off of him and let him rest up and just do TVs and get him ready for SummerSlam. That is very possible. I'm just picking AJ Styles to be wrong because I want Shinsuke to get the belt, so I'm doing the opposite of what I should pick. So, AJ Styles.
Yeah, I mean, it's... And AJ has had that championship for a long while now. You need to take it off of him just to really refresh the division and let him rest up and let him heal, like you said, because I'm sure he does have nagging injuries. And really just give him a break from it, from being in the spotlight, although I'm sure he's fine with it. So, and, you know, it's time for Shinsuke to shine. Let him shine. Let him do his thing with that title. Let him be the obnoxious bastard we all know he can be. So Shinsuke.
The eight ball was Shinsuke.
And speaking of the men, we're going to continue on that trend where we have your Money in the Bank ladder match. Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, The Miz, Rusev, Bobby Roode, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, and one of the members of the New Day, TBA.
New Day?
Are taking each other on for a chance at the Money in the Bank ladder match.
It will not be Rusev. It will not be Bobby Roode. I don't think it'll be Finn Balor. I don't think it's a member of the New Day. Braun, Kevin, and Joe, and The Miz are the four I see with the best odds at winning. I can see The Miz winning this Money in the Bank, and it would give him a prize to carry on SmackDown and eventually cash in with. Braun doesn't need it. But giving him the win would be fine, because you can set in motion the return of Brock with it. Samoa Joe could use it to put him in a better position on SmackDown. Same thing with Kevin on Raw. My brain says eliminate Kevin and bring it down to Braun, Joe, and Miz. I'm leaving it there for now. What do you say?
I saw a fantastic theory that I kind of want to happen, which is Miz wins the Money in the Bank. Daniel Bryan becomes champion. Miz cashes in on Daniel Bryan.
I mean, that's not a bad theory.
Makes his life hell. Mm-hmm. And boom, instant feud. There it is. Not that they need another reason to throw hands at each other, but there you go. Right there to make that happen. And plus, I feel like Miz did such a great job with the IC title and carrying it for such a long time. And he's done some of his best work over the last year to 2 years. Plus, he's got a new TV show coming out. He's going to be really high profile right now. That I feel like it's kind of his time again, where they're ready to bring him back up. And out of everybody in that match, it's like, I don't feel like it's going to be Braun, because Braun doesn't need it. Finn would be interesting, but they don't have a lot going on with Finn. It's not going to be Rusev, although it would be entertaining if it was. It's not going to be Bobby. Kevin would be entertaining as crap, but again, he's on Raw. there's no title for him to go for. Unless he just starts picking on Brock, which I doubt he would. Joe, I don't feel like Joe needs it, you know?
I can see that.
And with New Day, I would love to see somebody from New Day get it, especially Woods, but I just don't think it's going to be them, just because that may create an awkwardness in the trio. So yeah, I'm honestly, I want to see Miz. I really want to see Miz get it. I feel like there are the most possibilities with him. And we've kind of had in the last few years with the men, it's like last year you had Baron Corbin and they didn't do much with it. And I forget who was it was the year before that. But it's like every time somebody gets the Money in the Bank, they really don't do a lot with them. So here's the chance that you can do more with it. Because Miz will just go out there and be the Miz and be amazing. So yeah, Miz. So
the year before that was Dean Ambrose.
Ah, that's right. That's right.
I was looking
at Dean cashed in instantly, so there wasn't any time to do anything with him.
Yeah, I was looking it up just to make sure that was it.
How could I forget? That was my victory in fantasy. That's where I wrapped that son be up. Right there. Thanks, Dean Ambrose. Wins the briefcase and cashes in the same night. Cha-ching! He's glaring it. I can feel it. All right, moving on. Last match.
Hold on. I didn't make a pick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you picked.
No, I boiled it down to three and I didn't make a pick.
Okay, we'll pick.
Okay. God, stop. Really?
Damn.
Give me a minute to breathe.
I've been talking for like 5 minutes.
The Magic 8-Ball one with Kevin Owens. I'm going to miss.
Okay, can we move on now? Or do you need a second?
No, we can move on.
All right, your last match of the evening, not of the actual evening, but for this card anyway, is the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match where you will have Ember Moon taking on Charlotte Flair, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Natalya, Lana, Naomi, Sasha Banks. Go.
How hilarious would it be if Lana was Money in the Bank?
I would honestly laugh my ass off. Not even gonna lie.
Natalya does not need it unless they use it to have her cash in on Ronda Rousey. That is the only way Natalya wins. But they put her over on Monday, so I don't see her winning. Becky just beat Charlotte. Becky should get the briefcase because it would elevate her career. Ember Moon is such a babyface where she doesn't need it. Naomi won the Women's Money, the Women's Royal Rumble for that trophy, so Naomi's not going to win the Money in the Bank. Charlotte really desperately does not need it. Alexa Bliss could use it to get back in the title picture, but she really doesn't need it. Nor does Sasha. Like, there's a lot of women in this matchup who really don't need it, but again, do need it at the same time. I think Sasha holding it would be the star power they would want, but I don't think her cashing in is the right opportunity. Since, in my mind, SmackDown's getting the men's. That means a Raw woman has to get it here just to even it out. Because I expect one brand to get one, the other brand to get the other. What do you think? Let me hear your thoughts.
I don't want it on Alexa, because again, she had the title for a while. They're still resting her. You can stay off of her for a while, have her right on the edge, and she's fine. I don't want it to be Charlotte, just because Charlotte has been a part of so many historic moments. I really want to see it go to someone else. I really want to see somebody else shine. And I love her. Don't get me wrong. I really love her, but it's like if you're going to use it to elevate somebody, use it to elevate somebody.
Yeah, her winning it doesn't elevate it.
I don't want to see it go to Natty just because I don't want to see another Natty title run. I just, even with the story with Ronda, heel Natty is just, I can't go through that again. I love Natty to death. She's the sweetest person ever, but it's just like, no, I can't do that. I just can't do that again. I would love to see Naomi or Sasha or Ember get it. Completely fine with that. I would rather it be like someone like Naomi or Ember over Sasha, just because again, Sasha's been a part of so much. That gets some fresh names and some fresh faces a part of, you know, the history moments and the big things, because this is only the second Women's Money in the Bank, so...
Technically third.
We don't talk about the first one and the second one. We technically do not talk about the second one.
No, we talk about the second one, not the first.
Yeah, there you go. So, I think Lana would be hilarious, but I don't want it treated as a joke. But it's probably going to be Sasha, just because they're going to put it on somebody from Raw.
Unless Raw goes to Braun, and then you can go with, say, Becky Lynch.
I really want to see Becky get it, or Ember get it. I'd actually really rather Ember get it, and that puts her into that title picture, but I'm going Sasha.
I don't want to pick the same as you, but that's where my brain's going. Boss in the Bank.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks is the winner of the Money in the Bank. The 8-Ball went with Ember Moon. Those are our picks. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. You can make yours there, or as Matt did in the chat room. You can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or at Rack Radio Show as well.
So we're going to do things a little bit differently because we've got the intern and we've got Omega coming on after the break. So we're going to do Tweet of the Week right now.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. So, this is going to be a very pancake-themed Tweet of the Week, because IHOP did something here in the last week that just set everybody off, and if you're international, and you do not know what IHOP is, ironically, it stands for International House of Pancakes. It is a breakfast place here. And they decided to change their name from International House of Pancakes to International House of Burgers. IHOB.
Say what?
Naturally, everybody had a field day with this, and in the completely wrong way. I present to you Tweet of the Week. Wendy's, remember when you were like 7 and thought changing your name to Thunder Bear Sword would be cool? Like that. But our cheeseburgers are still better. A&W, inspired by the International House of Burgers announcement, we are also changing our name. Please do not ask us what it means. We don't know either. And they just reversed their sign, the A&W sign, where it's flipped upside down and it's now like a V and M. And I just love the slogan underneath. We don't know what it means either. NCAA March Madness. Wow, IHOB. So much for International House of Basketball. Somebody asked the Wendy's Twitter, and IHOB actually responded to that, and they go, our burgers are a slam dunk, which I'm going to pause right there and say there are more really good replies from IHOP, but I didn't grab a lot of them. But whoever their social media coordinator is deserves a raise.
Yeah.
All the social media coordinators that I'm about to call out deserve raises. They just did a phenomenal job. So Ruben Hidalgo tweets Wendy's and goes, what if Braun Strowman changed his name to Thunder Bear Sword? Wendy's replies, nah, he just needs to keep yelling, Braun! And crushing people. Stacy tweets Wendy's and goes, love you, but I thought you'd come with more heat than this. And Wendy's replies, here's the spicy version, and they send an earlier tweet, which was, not really afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard. Voodoo Money tweets Wendy's and goes, why are you so petty? And they go, it's spelled pretty. Steakums tweets Wendy's and goes, deletes Thunder Bear Sword username on MySpace. Deletes Thunder Beef Sword username on MySpace. And Wendy's goes, maybe Thunder Bean Sword? Possibly? Steve! Gets in the conversation. He goes, damn, Wendy's bringing the heat to cook the fresh beef. And Steakums replies, they're good beans, Steve. Chili's. We don't usually throw shade, but seriously? That's what all that was about? Here's a real burger for you. Hashtag Chili's Boss, hashtag IHOB, and it's the Boss Burger. Like, they threw their own little video in there of their burger.
I want some baby back, baby back, baby back. Chili.
Javier Berryman replies, yeah, never try to throw shade like Wendy's again. This just makes y'all look like big mad. And Chili's goes, well, we were a little mad. Hostess Snacks. Hashtag Monday Motivation. Knowing that you can always rely on your favorite snack brand for great snacks. We mean pancakes. No weight burgers. JK.
LOL. JK, LOL.
Denny's. Grandpa, this is a conversation. Grandpa, do you remember the Great Burger Wars? And Grandpa replies, LOL, no, I was chilling drinking milkshakes and trying to make sense of Westworld. Me too. Me too. Red Robin tweets out,
Red Robin, yum.
We're as serious about pancakes as IHOB is about burgers. There's so much shade. So
yeah,
much.
Yeah.
Luke Harper, is your hot Asian wife coming, Carl? And he tweets out the shot of the Money in the Bank Tag Team Championship graphic. Carl Anderson replies, sorry, man, my hot Asian wife won't be there, but I'll be there at Money in the Bank fighting you and your partner, who everyone, funny enough, still only sees as Bray's bitches. See you in Chicago!
Damn.
Ouch. Just ouch.
Burn.
That's mine.
Okay, Alex Stewart. Hope Daniel Bryan interferes in the Punk match and they both look to the WrestleMania sign. Or is that not how this works? Hashtag UFC 225. Billy Gunn fact. Congrats to CM Punk for not getting knocked out silly like Bart Gunn was. Taryn. Punk is the only dude who can be straight edge but have the cardio of someone who's been smoking tobacco since they were two.
Ooh.
Lance Storm, do you have to be bald to run Raw? Just wondering. Chris Daniels, Lance, are we in the running? Storm, if I get GMship, you can be my 5-star general. Daniels replies, agreed, with 5 stars. Tony X, so Wendy's, you just gonna let IHOP sell burgers on your block? Thought you were the OG. Wendy's, not afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard. I think you read that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
There's so many. All right, here's where all the fun goes. So Cracker Barrel tweets, and they'll all be y'allin' for all in, and tell Kenny Omega congrats on his win at Dominion. Bring him in for some celebratory pancakes, or would that be gimmick infringement on Big E? Big E, is it a requirement to have gone to a PWG show to run a national restaurant chain on social media, or is that just strongly suggested?
Damn.
This is where it gets tough. Let's figure this out. All right, Wendy's. There was a specific slot on the application that said, how many indie wrestlers can you name without Googling them? Shapeways. Yeah, I had to list at least 10 5-star Meltzer matches. Big E, A2. Shapeways, it's all of us, E. Literally, all of us. And he replies with a shocked face. Gimmick, meme, we continue, because there's more of it. It's all out of order, but that's how they do these things. Cracker Barrel. We even require applicants to name the precise match order of AJW's Dream Slam 1 while eating a Mama's Pancake Breakfast. Wendy's, by the time we got to the roster of Kaiju Big Battle, they said we had the job. Big E, well played. I thought you leaned more towards that Daisuke Sakamoto of the world. Daisuke Sakamoto's of the world. Wendy's, we just had Burger Bear on the mind. We do love a good meaty wrestler, though.
Kinky?
Wendy's did with the whole thing. There was a specific slide on application we asked, how many indie wrestlers can you name without Googling? Big E replied to that, how'd you do, Red? And I asked to answer that one with that one. And then they brought up, wait a minute, Big E? Big E Fries? It's all starting to make sense. And he's replied to the, we just had the big Burger Bear on the mind, we love a good meaty wrestler, though. He goes, y'all, right, Red? 17-year-old me almost regrets sneaking triples with cheese and chicken strips into my car during break. Almost. And one non-thing to do with anything other than EC3. I am more meme than man.
Of course you are, Ethan.
Of course he is.
So, that means one thing. We're going to take our first break of the evening and our only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by the NXT analyst, TJ Omega, and the assistant to the assistant to the assistant analyst, Kane Kittens, a.k.a. the intern, as we talk all about NXT Chicago. You don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Money, 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 money. Hey y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/rackradioshow.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/lonejobber.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
to the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, Instagram.com/RackRadioShow. The Rack Extra gets a little Bella in the form of Total Bellas. Join us each week as we review the latest happenings going on in the world of the Bellas.
I feel like I'm trapped, like
you're trapped.
Living in a padded cell.
Check out The Rack Extra, Total Bellas Weekly at WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana of the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to The Rack Radio Show on the Wildcat Network.
Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to The Rack Radio on the Wildcat Radio Network.
Wild Talk.
Motherfucker.
I don't know. I think we should keep it. I think it's funny.
Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to Rack Radio on Wild Talk Radio.
Perfect.
Wait, I'll do Rack Radio Show, sorry. All right, okay. One more time. Hey guys, this is Colt Cabana from the Art of Wrestling podcast, but right now you're listening to the Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio. Take four. I'm going to take four masks.
Now I don't feel so bad.
There you go.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWork.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. It's that time. We just got done with Money in the Bank, and now we are going to jump right into NXT TakeOver Chicago. But we are not alone, because the squad is here, y'all. Up first, joining us, the one, the only, the analyst.
The NXT analyst, TJ Omega. I'm
a man with a plan. He's a man with a plan.
And that plan is to talk takeover, right?
That is the plan.
That is the plan.
So we have the plan.
We have the NXT analyst, which means we need the assistant to the assistant. Yep, we have him. Here we go.
Hailing from the southwest corner of the prison, the human meat shield, who may die before this intro is up. The assistant to the assistant NXT analyst. He's dead now. He was and will forever be the intern Kane Kitten.
I need a revival. I fell Hang off on. The prison wall.
I need three more of those. Hang on.
Okay, who has a bolt action?
Doggy too.
Like your new intro?
God damn, you're right.
See, I told him he needed to use the remix Fortnite music, but he didn't. He didn't listen.
No,
so.
I used his favorite emote music.
God. No, that's Lindsay's favorite gesture of the.
And the second part of that was take the L, so. Kind made sense. Anyway, we're here to talk NXT TakeOver.
But that is a good segue, because after the show, about 10 minutes after this show goes off the air, they will be playing Fortnite. I will be the peanut gallery. Tune in. Watch. It'll be fun.
I didn't agree to that.
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Squad up. Anyway, let's talk TakeOver. Let's get into it.
Alrighty. So, unlike the last show, I think every match on this card is wanted and appreciated.
Yeah.
On some level.
You look top to bottom on this card, and it's... We say this all the time. There's a couple strong matches. There are a couple matches you go, I'm not extremely sure how they'll turn out, but they always turn out alright. Just looking at the card,
but there are some interesting matches, and we're going to start with one, which they're finally going to, you know, bang, bang, bangity bang all over Chicago, and that is Ricochet and Velveteen Dream. About time. They've been teasing each other for weeks. I say just get on with it at this point, but yeah. So, we've already seen them wrestle each other. We've seen them flirt with each other, but what are your thoughts, Omega?
My thoughts begin and end with Ricochet's flip to the outside. Jesus Christ. This has such good makings. I mean, Ricochet, incredibly talented in the ring, and yet we've spoken at long length about Velveteen Dream, hashtag, he's only 22.
And then, oh my god, is he only 22?
I mean, just saying.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Relic? Killer spelled backwards.
Wait, what?
Huh?
No.
I'd love that it's still a thing on ImpactWrestling.com. It is the best thing ever.
This is the perfect person to put in the ring with Velveteen Dream. If he is as good as we think he is, then it's someone like Ricochet that's going to bring out everything he could possibly have right now.
They have the chemistry, which is important.
The key, the key is if Velveteen Dream stays within himself. If he tries to go too outside the box and tries to keep up with Ricochet, things could turn bad, as we saw with the Cassius Ohno match. So Velveteen needs to put on a show, but not go too far where he's over his head, right, Brent?
Yeah, I was going to say, when it comes to this kind of match, you let Ricochet lead, you get a couple of steps in, and just trust the guy who has the experience.
Trust the process.
Exactly.
Just not, with, not... Bur- with burner accounts.
God damn it.
Just... Anyway, moving on, sports references. Omega's like, what?
Fortnite.
Oh, sports ball. I'm here.
So, all right, y'all, who you got? The all-important question. We've got the chemistry. I think this could be the potential to steal the show, although you've got at least one other match on this card that could do it. But I feel like this is a sleeper for it.
This is a show stealer, because there's another match on the card that already owns this show.
Yes.
The question lies, this the opener?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe.
This would be a great way to set the crowd on fire nice and early.
You open with this, you close with the street fight, you put the championship on fourth, you go from there.
Undisputed second, Shayna right in the middle.
Yeah, I think that's the best strategy, because if you try to open with the tag match, you're putting the pressure on the crowd to stay. You need the crowd to, I don't know, settle in. While the tag match will be good, and we'll get to that in a second, you gotta start hot, and they like to start hot. And
Where is this being held again?
Chicago.
Yeah, you throw that match out there first with that crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like they need to get a little drunk before the street fight and the tag match happen.
Okay.
Not that they won't be drunk by the time the show starts, but just me, you know, get them, because they'll be more rowdy, I feel like, later in the show, if they pace this out right.
So, Mega, your pick is who?
My pick right now, I feel like Velveteen can prove just as much here by holding his own against Ricochet without having to win the match. I think being newer to NXT, Ricochet do better to win here.
Brent?
Yeah, along the same lines, I was going to say Ricochet is still the new kid on the block, so he still needs just a little bit. I know we always say that, you know, Velveteen needs this, he needs a win. I honestly think right now, just putting on a match with Ricochet and being able to have the crowd go, holy shit, again, will still do wonders for him without needing anything in the win-loss column. Because, as we know, wins and losses don't matter. But yeah, Ricochet.
I'm going to go Velveteen Dream. He's the WWE guy, and there are positions for Velveteen Dream to go in terms of championship contention, based on how my mind books the championship match, where Velveteen can slip back in there and, say, go to Brooklyn and finally defeat Alistair. So I'm going Velveteen. The eight ball went with Ricochet. Lindsay goes...
I'm going to go with Ricochet just because I want to see these two go one more time. And I feel like Velveteen is always just a little bit better when he's chasing someone. Because he's more persistent, almost. And I love the story that's being told between these two. And I want more of it. I don't want it to end on Saturday night. So I'm going to go with Ricochet for them to potentially continue later.
What's next?
Up next... we've got Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong taking on Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. And we should note, before we get too deep into this, that Mauro Ranallo will not be calling the show. He has a previous engagement, so we will be Mauro-less. So no Mamma Mia's on Saturday.
205. Vic Joseph, former guest of this show, will be calling the show.
Hey!
On Saturday night. The 205 Live announce team of... Vic Joseph, Nigel, and what's his name again? I forget. I'm blanking on the dude who's calling the action for NXT now.
I don't know. I can tell you.
The black guy.
Oh, Percy Watson?
Thank you. I was so...
Wow, Rock.
Okay.
Damn, dude!
It was the only
know
way to...
Know your product. Know it.
I was blanking on Percy Watson. I mean, he's a guy who can be very forgettable. I'm just saying.
He's a guy. Basically, you just finish the sentence after that.
When he sits next to Nigel McGuinness, who is Nigel McGuinness, you know, it's hard. You do swoon, but you don't forget his name.
Did you remember it?
Yes.
So why, when I was trying to think of it, you couldn't say the name?
Because you were talking!
I asked for an answer. Anyway, no one had my back.
I never do what you tell me to
do. They don't have my back.
It's not funny if we just give you the answer.
No, there you go. Anyways.
It's okay, Omega. He's just the producer.
He never does anything around here.
I'm going to throw Brent off a cliff later. Anyway.
Speaking of Brent, who are you taking in this match?
With this, I understand that they've got Lorcan and Burch have been coming out to kind of save each other's asses from the beatings of the Undisputed Era. Those guys are just real ornery, you know? But honestly, I think the titles are... just not ready to come off of the Undisputed Era yet. If anything, I think there's a certain group from across the pond that could possibly take those titles from them. Maybe in Brooklyn, because they've been building that kind of thing up for a little while.
Maybe in plus, a couple weeks.
Maybe.
I was gonna say. Plus, we get a preview. Is it later this weekend? Next weekend.
They're taping weekend. It. Taping it a week from Monday and Tuesday. They're taping, and then we get to see it the week after that.
Okay. So yeah, in about 2 weeks, we get the taste of the six-man battle of Undisputed Era versus the Brits. And I think that's going to be just round one of a horribly brutal feud between these groups.
As they call it, a series of matches.
I can't.
It's going to be a brutal series of fights between these groups.
Okay, can we just, before we move on, can we just talk about Pete Dunne versus Kyle O'Reilly? Like, I don't know what the hell was going on in that match, but there was some kinky stuff going on. Like, just, no, I'm serious. Go watch it.
According to Twitter, Kyle O'Reilly is petitioning NXT management to remove, what was it, small joint manipulation from the battle?
He doesn't like his fingers getting popped.
No, I don't know if anyone really does.
There's a picture that Pete Dunne put out on his Instagram of he's got Kyle O'Reilly and I guess a modified surfboard, and he's got his fingers hooked in Kyle's mouth, so he's pulling his cheeks back almost like I want to call it like a horse bit almost, but I don't know what else to call it. And then he's behind Kyle, and it looks like he's mounting Kyle from behind as he's pulling his mouth back. And I'm just like, what the hell is going on in this picture?
Amateur orthodontist.
I don't know, but it's just like, I watched the match again tonight, and I'm like, there's just some kinky stuff going on in this match. These two had fun with each other. Now, here's my question. Do we know if the Brits are coming over? Could they sneak them over for this show?
No, the Brits are going to be over in the UK because reasons.
OK. Because reasons? Okay, they're booked elsewhere.
I would assume they're just there because they're going to be all heading back over, so it makes no sense to fly them in and fly back. Because they're all headed, they're headed to the UK. Like, the next day. There's no sense to fly them in for one day.
It's never stopped them before.
I know it's never stopped them before, but
I'm not saying all three, but you could bring Dunn in, because I would suspect that Adam Cole gets involved in this a little bit.
Okay, Dunn is the exception to the rule. Dunn could be there.
Dunn could be there, but because he's been sort of like teaming a little bit with Lorcan and Birch, even though they think he's trash and he's like whatevs. But yeah, I could just see Kyle O'Reilly, or not Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring Dunn in to set up the match between him and Cole at the UK show.
Well, that's not the match at the UK show.
What's the match at the UK show?
Cole's fighting the winner, not Cole.
Dunn's fighting the winner of the tournament.
Yeah, he's fighting the winner of the tournament.
But aren't they also, like, Dunn comes over to set up shit?
Oh, they're doing the six-man. It's the
Mustache
Mountain versus Undisputed Era.
Or they could bring them in and leave. I don't know. Anyway, they could bring the Brits in.
Anyway, sidetrack, back to the match. Who you got, Brent?
Rabbit hole.
I thought I already said. Undisputed Era is going to retain in this. Birch and Lorcan are going to give them a match, but ultimately the numbers game is just going to be too much.
Omega?
Numbers game shenanigans are definitely going to be a factor here. I think it's also the fact that this wasn't the planned team. We are still going with Undisputed Era 2.0 here as we wait for Fish to heal up. I think they need the win to solidify that championship reign, solidify the team together.
They're the strongest act they have on NXT. They should retain their belts. The 8-ball went opposite with Lorcan and Birch. Lindsay goes.
I'm going Undisputed Era. It's not time to take the titles off of them yet. I like Orkin. The Orkin man. I like Oni and Danny a lot, but they aren't going to be able to follow up Undisputed Era, and it makes more sense to keep the titles on them, especially since they did not take them off of them after Bobby Fish got hurt. So they're intending for those to stay there for quite a while. They bring stability to the division. Like Omega said, they are the hottest act they have. Makes no sense to take the titles off of them, so yeah, Undisputed Era.
That said...
She's getting us confused, Rock.
I know. That said, you could put it on Lorcan and Birch and switch it in a week. It's possible.
You could technically do whatever you want,
too. But I'm just saying, for a surprise, you could have Lorcan and Birch go over. I'm just throwing out the scenario in.
No, because I really want to see British Strong Style versus Undisputed Era, and if somebody's going to beat Undisputed Era for those titles, I would really rather it be 7 and Bate.
I understand this. I'm just throwing it out there. What's next?
Up next, we're going to have a bit of the ladies, where Shayna Baszler, your champion, is taking on the wild card Scottish wifey, Nikki Cross, for the women's NXT championship. Who wants to go first on this?
This is going to be a highly technical match. It's going to, show
everyone.
No, this is going to be a brawl.
You kidding? Baszler's going to try to knock Cross's hair out while Cross tries to eat Baszler's hair.
Baszler's psycho versus two.
Psycho versus lunatic.
I don't think the bell's even going to ring before these two get their hands on each other.
I want to see Nikki Cross show Shayna Baszler how to do a body slam and a hip toss and how to go right into the corner and then run the ropes. I want to see this.
Really?
I want to see this. I want to see how this goes.
Leapfrog, hip toss, drop kick, the standard routine.
Standard. Five moves of doom.
Welcome to the Performance Center.
She's got it. That's the reason Nikki's still here. She's got to teach Shayna how to do it down in NXT. Nikki's in this matchup to elevate Shayna. Shayna's going to retain her championship on this night.
I want Nikki to win.
I want Scottish wifey to get a pretty.
I don't, honestly, I know they won't do it, but they kept Nikki Cross down in NXT for a reason. And it wasn't just to elevate Shayna Baszler. I really, really, really do want to see her get the title just because she is so unpredictable. And Shayna doesn't know what to do with her. Unlike the other women in the division so far, Nikki throws her. Shayna kind of looks at her and she's just like, what? What are you? Where did you even come from? What do I do with you? Because she is that unpredictable.
But if go ahead.
It's the one person on the women's roster that she can't intimidate.
Yeah.
Because Shayna will just walk up to her and Nikki will just laugh at her, slap her in the face, and then slap her own face right in front of her. And Shayna, again, will be going, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. She's too crazy to be intimidated.
She's crazy like a fox.
But if like in order to have fear, you have to have a rational mind.
This is true. But if you're going to have anyone take down Shayna, it's got to be Dakota Kai. That's the story. Nikki's just playing a part. Coda's the one who should beat Shayna in the end. That's the hero story you need to conquer the bully. That's when the title comes off of her.
I know, but Nikki.
But you like Dakota too.
I know. Kiwi Wifey is great too. And Welsh Wifey with her is fantastic as well. But Nikki's been around the while. You know, she's busted her ass.
She's earned it?
Yeah, she's risked life and limb against, like, the Authors of Pain and other groups.
She's worked hard for it?
Yeah, she's worked hard for the money.
I feel like there's no harm. I
hate you. Continue.
Yes, just flip that right in there.
Anyway, I feel like there's no harm in taking the title off of Shayna, even if it is temporary, just to make her beatable. Because here's the thing, you're very quickly setting her up for the same kind of run that Asuka had, and seeing as you just sent Asuka up not that long ago, you don't want to have someone else go undefeated for as long as she did. But you don't even want to have somebody come close to that.
But she's not undefeated. She lost. She's lost already.
She lost to Ember the first time.
Yeah, she already lost that to Ember the first championship match.
Streaks can start.
See,
it's only been a couple months. Anyway, go up, Brent.
There's two ways you can kind of go with this. If you keep Shayna with the belt and you have her beat Nikki, she can start to get that kind of cockiness of, you know, she's beaten Dakota. She's going to run roughshod over the division. She took out the crazy one. So really, you know, who's going to take her out? But if you do put the belt on Nikki, what you could do is show how dangerous Shayna can be when she's chasing again. Because it's like you kind of saw it with Ember and what she's willing to do. But if you have Nikki, who's just completely off the wall, and you have to try and get the belt back from that, it could show, you know, an even more sadistic side of Shayna as well.
Yeah, I'm seeing, like, last woman standing matches. I'm seeing all kinds of stiff matches between Shayna and Nikki that you could get away with. And you could have Shayna get it back at SummerSlam and she chases Nikki to SummerSlam, or you could have Shayna chase her as far as Survivor Series if you wanted to and have her get it back at Survivor Series. I feel like Shayna is better chasing than she is having the title, because it's like now she's attained it. Who's going to beat her? And outside of Nikki, I mean, I love Dakota Kai, don't get me wrong. I think she's fantastic, but I just don't see her being able to beat Shayna. Nikki is kind of the really one of the only women in that division right now, aside from Kairi Sane, who could really take out Shayna. And I like the fact that it's the unpredictability of her, that, you know, it's like she is the crazy one. And Shayna's now got to figure out how to get the title back from her.
All right, round the horn, Omega, who you got?
I just don't know if you can be that kind of flippant with her. I mean, Shayna just won the championship at the last NXT TakeOver, and the one previous to that, she came up short against Ember Moon. I don't know if you can keep going back and forth on her and take the belt off of her like that.
So, Shayna?
I want to see more from these two, but I think Shayna's going to hold it.
Brent?
If you take the belt off of her, yeah, it's still way too early to bring her up. I really want Nikki to win. I think that you could do a lot with these two, and plus it would reward Nikki for all of her hard work, but
pick with your heart. No one, like, just pick her.
No, I know. No, there's a difference. There's picking with my heart, but there's also, like Omega said, she just got the belt. You're trying to build up her credibility in a sense, and, you know, yeah, she's lost to Kairi. Yeah, she's lost to Ember. If she loses to Nikki as soon as she picks up the belt, it's going to cut the legs out from under her.
Are you going for perfection on picks, or going with your heart? Go with your heart, man. Go with your heart. Pick her. Do it. Go on the limb. Pick her.
All right, fuck it. You know what? I'll do it. I'll go Scottish Whitey.
Shayna Baszler wins. So A-Ball also picks Shayna. Lindsay picks.
Come on, Lindsay.
I want her to win, but I feel like it's going to be Shayna.
God damn it. All right. When Nikki wins, you will all hear it from the rooftops.
That's the point. We're going to have you live following TakeOver. We're going to go live, and you'll be able to shout at the moon, I was right, that Nikki Cross wins.
Okay, but here's my theory.
Or you'll be wrong.
Because, you know, you brought up Dakota Kai, right?
Yeah.
So, Dakota interferes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what cost Nikki the match.
Could. Or it could accidentally cost Nikki the match.
That's what I just said.
No, you should, for you said for Shayna would win, right? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Dakota comes in and she attacks Shayna, which would result in Shayna winning the match and retaining the title, so Nikki loses because Dakota interfere.
I'm going with it.
Okay. Yeah. Shayna for the win plus fantasy points. Kind of self-serving.
Isn't it always?
Up next, Aleister Black, your champion, is taking on Lars Sullivan for the NXT Championship.
Logic from TV goes, Aleister got beat down. He's been beaten down multiple times by Lars Sullivan. Pay-per-view comes, good guy revenges bad guy. That's the wrestling logic, and that's how it's being booked, right? Or are they going to have Lars be the monster among children? Didn't want to say men, because that's someone else's gimmick. This is clear signs Aleister retains his championship. He just got the belt. It makes no sense to pull it from him. It's when he gets in the ring and starts talking, it takes away from his character a little bit.
Yeah. Like, there's some mystique to someone that powerful and that silent. It takes away from that brooding kind of goth appearance he has.
Like, when they have him do the promo interview things with, you know, all the graphical special effects and everything, those work. But him trying to cut the promo in the ring, it's just, to me, at one point I forgot, oh right, he's our champion of NXT. because there's been other stories being told, it's like, oh yeah, Aleister's our champ. I think he needs this win more than Lars does, because a monster can be rebuilt at any point. I think it's Aleister's match to win. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, it's going to be a real interesting mesh of styles between these two. You've got Aleister, which is a slow worker but a striker, and can probably kick Lars's head out into Wrigley. Lars is just kind of your stereotypical powerhouse. Black needs this, and I think it sets up more feuds coming up if Black has the belt, because you could get something like him and Dream next. You could end up with him and, you know, even Ricochet possibly, or EC3, or you have, I think, more built in with Black to be able to move forward than you would Sullivan. I think Sullivan getting the title shot now benefits his character, and he doesn't necessarily need the belt right now. He can still just kind of go back and be a dominant force within NXT, but he doesn't need that belt quite yet to legitimize himself in his run. So
analyze it, Omega.
I mean, the typical WWE logic here. Lars going into this match looks dominant as hell. You know, watching him block the Black Mass like it was nothing. He's going in the monster he needs to be in order for Black to have considerable challenge here. I mean, it's WWE logic. I mean, unless you're Brock Lesnar, that kind of booking generally does not go well for you.
Who's this person you're referring to?
Don't worry, we'll never see him again.
Damn it, Lindsay.
Tell me I'm wrong.
No, I was gonna go there too.
One brain.
Hive mind.
He's anyway, like I'm sorry. I'm making
see at holidays.
We're going on a road and doing magic tricks with this one brain thing. Anyway, keep going.
No, I really don't see this match going any other way. I mean, it should be a good match putting Aleister up against, you know, the beast that is Lars Sullivan. I don't see Sullivan winning because he's not the type to really carry a top championship right now.
Also, they need to keep this match up under 10 minutes.
For
Lars's sake.
Yeah, you're going to show weakness in him if you go any longer than that.
Because in the ladder match, they hid him for a while, and he was able to do his spots, because that matchup went forever. But you hid him for a while. In this one, you need to let him be punishing, but it has to be quick. It has to be devastating, but doesn't have to last long.
Yeah, I feel like he's in this position with a championship match, mostly to give Aleister something to do for now, and mostly because the way they've been running him as this unstoppable force, it's inevitable for him to run up against the NXT champion, but I don't think he's ready for that spotlight.
Also, another name for a potential challenger is Ciampa as well. Yeah, once he gets done with Gargano, you're going to split people. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, Lindsay, what's your take?
My take is, honestly, Lars is a monster, but let's not forget Aleister is one too. It's kind of, he's been a quiet monster as of late, but it's what is Aleister willing to do to keep his title, especially after this past week where he got beat down by Lars.
And it's Frankenstein versus Dracula.
Basically. So Aleister's going to retain. They don't need to take the title off of him. Lars, I don't think, is ready for it. You need to do a little bit more work on him before he becomes champion and really sort of build that, but he is a good challenger for Alistair because it can be a reminder to everybody what Alistair is capable of doing, which we haven't seen in a while, just because they have held him off TV. So when they do let him wrestle, he needs to have these really good pairings, really good matches where he can be a force to be reckoned with, because it's like, this is why he's the NXT champion. It's like, yeah, he's got a cool entrance and yeah, he's a cool dude and totally don't expect that voice when he talks, but it's the reminder of, yes, he is a badass. Yes, he will kick your head into the third row and try and take that title off of him. I dare you. So I'm going Alistair on this one just because Alistair.
I'm going Alistair. The 8-ball goes Alistair. Brent goes
Alistair.
Omega goes
Alistair.
The main event of the show is
Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa in a Chicago street fight. One year in the making. This is going to be brutal. This is going to be absolutely brutal. If their last match is any indication, somebody may go to the hospital. I'm not sure who yet. And I fully expect Candice LeRae to get involved in this somehow.
She will be involved. Ciampa turned on Gargano 1 year ago at NXT TakeOver.
Rock, no. No, don't say it.
It did. I'm just going back. That's what happened. That's the story.
Wasn't it in Chicago?
Yeah, 1 year ago.
Yeah.
Same place. We're going back to the scene of the crime. I mean, if you want, Brent, we can talk about how Candice could turn on Johnny too.
No.
Just sort of. So it
weird. We are not breaking up the wrestlings, damn it. We're not doing this.
No.
Everything that is good and right in the world will die if Candice LeRae turns.
No, I want Candice LeRae to take Tommaso Ciampa out, and I want the show to close with her beating his ass, either with her bare fists, or a chair, or a cane, or a ladder, or Johnny himself. I just want her to beat Ciampa down. Because that's the match we all really want, is Candice LeRae versus Tommaso Ciampa, where she avenges the family honor. Johnny's good, Candice is better.
You know what we haven't seen in a while? Is someone throwing in a towel.
In a street fight?
The beating could be so brutal, she throws in the towel for Johnny.
I don't think...
No.
No.
I don't expect
NXT, no. In WWE logic, on Raw or SmackDown, I would perfectly accept that kind of outcome in a Falls Count Anywhere or No Holds Barred or whatever you want to call your match that has no rules. Not in NXT. The booking's smarter than that there.
It is, but at the same time, the booking leads to it here, in a way.
Yeah, but also the way that they've set her up with this, with her being like, when Johnny got the street fight officially taken care of, she had the look almost like, I'm fucking done with this. I'm just done. And the towel thing would be interesting, but I also think it would kind of go against the way that this has been set up with that, with him knocking her off the apron. I see either her turn, unfortunately, I don't want to think about that right now, but the other thing I could see is something kind of like what Lindsay's alluding to, where Johnny's getting ramped up, he's gonna try and deliver the killing blow to Tommaso, she steps in and she just kind of goes, no, and then just waylays Tommaso down for that last bit.
Here's what I want. I want Candice there. I want her to grab a white towel, get up on the ring apron as soon as Ciampa's gotten too much of an edge. I want him to goad her into doing it. And then as soon as he turns her back, she chokes him out with it.
Yep. That's acceptable. I don't see it working simply because I don't think Johnny would ever forgive her. It's like, I don't want that level of tension between Candice and Johnny. I feel like this needs the definitive winner. I know we had it last time, but this match requires one of them to win, by hook or by crook. And I don't think anybody's going to be satisfied if someone throws in a towel for someone else. Unless we're going to lead to a third match, which I think we would all be fine with. But I just don't know how you have Johnny mount that challenge beyond, you know, she threw in the towel prematurely. Because the other flip side to this is she's playing possum. And they're luring Tommaso into thinking she's not going to be there, she's not going to be a part of this, because she's done with it, and then she shows up. That could be the other side of this, is they're trying to play little mind games with Tommaso Ciampa, which may or may not work. But I feel like this does need a definitive winner for closure's sake.
Which is who?
My question is, if what is the next step after this match?
Hell in a Cell.
I was going to say, well, the only thing is, you've kind of, what is the step that you either haven't had in NXT, or this feud is the, you know, Owen Zane kind of level, Triple H Shawn, where it needs that ultimate escalation to just stamp it out, because we've already had the unsanctioned fight after the turn. We now have a street fight.
Which supposedly was supposed to be last man standing, but the main roster got the match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. God damn it, AJ.
Balls.
So we've got the street fight now, but you've got to think, okay, if they do want to take this up to that third level, what is the pinnacle that you can go? Because you've already had two knockdown drag out fights, but you need that last echelon to really kind of go, okay, this is where it ends, at least for now.
Bra and panty match.
Are you okay with that? Tuxedo match!
But I mean, we haven't had a Hell in a Cell in NXT. We've had a cage match with Joe and Balor that damn near killed both of them.
We've had War Games.
Yeah, we've had War Games, but you haven't had that one kind of, you know, this is the feud ender to end all feud enders in NXT.
I mean, as long as we're rehashing WCW matches, we could triple cage the third match.
No, because then you'll end up with Arquette as the title holder.
I mean, we went over this a couple Sundays ago. Do you really want to see him make his return? He'll have to be the special referee for that.
Well, he is coming back to wrestling.
I know.
I feel like because this would go to another takeover, they would have the setup required for something like Hell in a Cell. I don't know if they would drag it out purely for takeover. They probably would, because the next takeover is in...
Brooklyn?
Oh, yeah.
For SummerSlam? Yeah,
for SummerSlam, they would drag it out for that, because they don't have to take it far. They could just bring it over from Connecticut, set it up, use it, and then send it back. They don't have to keep it on any of the trucks once they leave. So...
We always talk about with Hell in a Cell, we need a feud that's worthy of it, not just a not just for the name of the pay-per-view. This would be that scenario.
This is a blood feud. I am willing to risk my life in order to end this.
Yeah, I'm willing to put everything on the line, throw caution to the wind, because I want to end the guy across from me.
In that case, I can see Tommaso winning, which Johnny can't stand, and so it leads them to Hell in a Cell.
Oh, if Tommaso picks this up, he can just hold it over Johnny's head. It's just, you know, you got your job back, but I beat you, and now, you know, I'm not going to let this go on. And Johnny is just seething to try and get a hold of him again.
Okay, who you got, Brent?
I have Ciampa winning, and then if he does get a shot at Alistair, Johnny costs him that to get the ball rolling on the end game.
Omega, who you got?
God. I love that this has me undecided. I'm going to say Ciampa because I want to see another. I want to see a trilogy.
If the Magic 8-Ball goes Ciampa, I'm going Johnny Gargano. I don't know why.
You sentimental fool.
You're going to send the crowd home happy. That's all I can say. It'll be Ciampa, but I'm going Gargano. Lindsay, who you going with?
I'm going with Ciampa. If you want to send the crowd home happy again, you just have Candace kick his ass at the end and everybody will be fine with that. But yeah, I want this to go for three. I want Tommaso to lot it over Johnny, that he wasn't able to get it done. And I can ultimately see the flip side to Candace being there is she does cost Johnny in some way. Like, she comes in, she either distracts him or she gets hurt or something happens. And I don't want to say it's necessarily her fault that he loses.
But
it's her fault that he loses. And so that just, and Tommaso could hold that over him as well. I mean, Tommaso's doing literally his best work right now. So he can take any outcome of this match and use it against Johnny. And it just drives Johnny insane to the point that he demands this end and this end in Hell in a Cell, and that there's no outside interference, that nobody can get involved, nothing can happen, and that it's just them in a cell with a variety of weapons.
Shut up, take money.
Right? And you do, and that's how you sell NXT Brooklyn, is it's Hell in a Cell between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. And everybody would be like, yes. So, Ciampa.
That is NXT TakeOver Chicago predictions. We will be live following NXT TakeOver Chicago like we always are this Saturday night. But I think that does it for the program this evening. What do you say, Lindsay?
I think we're done. So you have stuffs to plug, and Omega has stuffs to plug. Mm-hmm. So, Omega, you go first.
So, if you want to see everything that I get up to over the course of the internet lifespan I have, it is all located, on Facebook, it's TJ Reviews. You can find me there. Everything
Screw
else.
Screw the guy end. That took the other thing.
Yeah. But if you want to find me elsewhere, it is TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is a YouTube channel, which is currently on vacation hiatus while I go through burnout. But
AKA, it is now consumed with Fortnite with friends.
Yes.
But we'll be getting back to regular content there. And in the meantime, there is also the archives over at tgomega.net for a bunch of special stuff YouTube doesn't let me post.
Can I go now? Okay, cool.
Wait, before you go. Brent?
Oh, sorry, I was just enjoying Hailstorm in the background. God, I love that they got the NXT theme. When I'm not working, I'm either... Well, which is now up to 1,698 days.
Oh, good lord.
Straight. but when I'm not at work, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens, or you can find me playing Fortnite with these two guys as part of hashtag squad goals. Coming up in just a couple of minutes.
Twitch.tv/WTRLive. Okay. Now can I go?
Go.
So, as I mentioned, like legit, right after the stream ends, go over to Twitch. The thing will be live in like 3-4 minutes. Simple as that. Saturday night, midnight-ish, will be CB Radio. Before that, as mentioned, we'll have the NXT TakeOver Chicago review. So CB Radio, then Sunday after Money in the Bank, it's WTR Sunday at Russell Talk Radio. Get this, folks. Unless he tells me otherwise, it'll be hosted by Tim Stein. I know. But I get this hunch it won't be hosted by Tim Stein. Because it's Father's Day, so I assume. But that's just me. So we may have Tim on Sunday. I don't know. WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Monday nights we're all posted 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rakesh Reviews. Total Bella Season 3, Episode 4 now available. Episode 5 will be available next Wednesday. We'll be back live next Thursday night. So we're 2 weeks away from 6-year show. So next week, we'll have our Money in the Bank review at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all under Rack Radio Show.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing, awesome sponsors, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, Gerwick.net, and fightbooth.com. So for Omega, for Kane Kittens, for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back in just a few minutes with Fortnite! So till then, bye!
Wild Talk